Hey now. Hey now. No, still, it looks like it's connected, but, you know, Skype is just a... Hey.
Hello, hello.
How's it going?
Good, good. Happy Sunday.
Pretty good, pretty good. Your levels are...
Happy Sunday.
Right. You're happy son to you. Your levels are like when you're talking, it's like I'm seeing it clip off the board here. Is there a way to kind of? Okay. And with Skype now, you can't like. I used to be able to go in there. Somebody's mic was a little hot. I could pull it down. I could pull their level down and max it and keep it, you know, keep it level with mine. But then. That all disappeared in Skype.
Oh, yeah. Really? That was just
a
little better?
Yeah, that was, a little bit,
Okay.
All right. So, welcome back. Welcome back to Cold Reality Radio. Cold Reality.
In these interesting times, yes.
Right. And we got Clint coming up in about 5 minutes. So,
oh, great.
Just message me when you're ready, and we'll have a trifecta here, the Holy Triumphant. So many, many things going on. And so you mentioned the Steve Pachenik thing, and I wasn't – the other night I was just like – I was so tired. And I was outside and I was talking on the phone and Sick Jackson was kind of sitting there. So, you said something about a silent coup or a mini coup, like frosted mini coups.
Frosted mini wheats.
Frosted mini wheats. And, there's a coup inside in a special prize. They don't do that anymore, do they? They used to have, put prizes, or was that just Cracker Jacks or? It was crackered. I don't know.
No, cereal too. They used to be able to get toys in cereal boxes.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Now, not anymore. It was just like, you know, you had to pour the whole box of cereal out to see where it was because chances are it was down at the bottom, you know. So Greg mentions this name and I didn't know what it was, but you made the correlation that when Bill was running in 92 against, was it George H.W. Bush, his father, or a man who he looked to as being the closest thing to the father that he didn't have, right? Mm-hmm. And isn't it interesting now that they were running against each other? And of course, that was when Ross Perot was in the
as you recall back. And if people remember back then, they were saying, you know, like with the Larry Nichols thing coming out before, saying that, you know, oh, I got the goods on the Clintons there. We're going to release all this information before the election. And then the information was never released. And, you know, we all know the results. And then after the election, it never came out. Mm-hmm. So this is a tactic that the Clintons have used.
And that's what we see. That's what we see. I mean, it's just like, and in this so-called, you know, truth movement, we see them saying, or Jones saying, oh, this is big. This is big. Oh, my God, this is going to change everything. And then it does nothing. It does nothing but, you know, like the Brexit. We look at this whole Brexit thing. You know, everybody over there at the InfoWars is like, oh, this is big. This is meant to destabilize. Just because
it's all military psyops.
It's going to do is it's going to destabilize things. It's going to destabilize Europe. I mean, it's not good the way that it is. I mean, the EU is bullshit. It was just a control grid so that we could be brought to this point right now where if any changes or anything gets reversed, then we've got a financial crisis and all these other things that that they need to you know, take us all to the next step. Clint, welcome.
Howdy.
Good morning.
Well, yeah, it's okay. Not too bad.
Okay, good to hear. All right. So here we are. We've seen the mudslinging. We've seen the absolute degeneracy of this presidential election, or, you know, these going through the machinations of what is supposed to be a democracy, and just utter bullshit that we all kind of realize on different levels. And I mean, Clint has broken this down, the whole they're different between an elector and a voter, and he's broken it down in any number of ways to, you know, to the dotted I, to the cross T, that this whole electoral thing is, you know, we don't have anything to do with this vote. It's just this illusion that we do. And because they try to get so many people to vote, and that's why they spend a lot of money to rock the vote, they try to get all these demographics out there voting. So because the vote legitimizes an illegitimate system that really does not, it only relies on us to believe in it, and it gives it power, right? To believe in it. We've seen this through any number of movies where if you stop believing in it, if you don't believe in the monster, then the monster disappears. The only reason why the monster, you know, you believe the monster is under the bed, or you believe the monster is in the basement, is because you believe it's there, and that makes it real. And that's what that's what the elections are.
It can't hurt you unless you breathe power into it. unless you breathe life into the fiction, basically. Just like a cartoon character can't exist except on the magic screen, right? And the cartoon character has no life except what its creator, its God, gives it. And so we, just like our persons, you know, we operate in commerce in that person, and we give it life. So the act of voting is nothing more and nothing less than an action, or you could say an expression of consent, express consent, mm-hmm. to the existence, not just the power of, or not just the notion of, but the actual existence of the federal government's, the corporation. And you think about the corporation, you know, it's one thing to call it the corporation nation, you know, it's another thing to just realize, yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a creation it's literally a creation of Congress. Because you think about it, all the executive departments and everything are creations of Congress, right? Everything is a creation of Congress, not of the president. When the president creates, he has the power given to him by Congress. When the president does anything, including declaring emergencies to put us into a perpetual state of war against, you know, terrorism and that kind of thing, these all come from the gods, from the god that is the legislature, or i.e. the people, which is the god of the United States, the creator, right? We the people are the ones that we, the common people, pledge allegiance to, and they're the ones that created the United States, right? So how can you think of it as anything else but a holding corporations? I mean, you think about Russia. Russia has many nations. There's nations all over the place. And I'm starting to really, you know, get to the point now where I fully understand that why, for instance, the Bible is so against nations. Why the Bible says when you escape the nations, you must get together and be Christ-like. When, right, everything's against the nations. I'm realizing that the nations are really a cancer. They're really the dens of inequity, the dens of evil. Well, what is a nation, right? A nation, I mean, you think about what our nation is in America, it's Washington, D.C., and nothing else. That's it. It's just that little stretch right there. So, you know, the states, they're their own territories. Territory comes from terra, which is land, right? That's the real deal. But when you're talking about the nation that extends its jurisdiction over all the other things, all the other parts, then you've got a sickness. You've got this dis-ease that's literally putting its tentacles into every aspect of everybody's life, even though it's only, you know, less than 10 miles square in Washington, D.C. And then, of course, you've got the Libra Code that says when a military base is in your territory, in your state, then you know that you are under martial law. We have a military base, of course, active military base of the federal nation in every state. We are under martial law. That's the first frickin' code in the Libra Code. Go read the Libra Code. It'll astound you, you know, as to what we're actually in. So the nation is literally the disease on all of these different states or countries out there. It's you know, nation and country aren't even the same, you know, quote unquote terminology. So what a nation is it establishes a character. That's how it's defined. It's the Jews defined it as basically a prison for goyim, a debtor's prison for goyim, for the Gentiles, for those who don't call themselves, you know, Christians or Jews. I mean, that's, look at the definition. It means to be born. That's what a nation, what the word nation means. So if you're born in the nation, you call the nation your father. Well, what does the Bible say? Never call any man or other thing your father. Right? So we've got this huge, huge, disastrous event that's called nations. Now we've got the United Nations. So now we're going to have one national god, basically, over all other nations. And that's why it was so important to establish the power of each nation over all the common people. Because now you have the United Nations that's going to have power over all people, all the common people of the world, and the United Nations is generally, it's just the big holding company for all the private landholders of the world.
And it works for a certain portion of society, and it doesn't work for, you know, the most of society. Greg, so when we were, you were mentioning that around the time that, 1992 presidential election, we heard all of these different things about Whitewater and all these things, and people knew that Clinton was corrupt, and so kind of roll from that standpoint, because of what we're seeing now is a playbook.
We're seeing a playbook being written out. It's a little bit more deep now because of WikiLeaks, but we probably know that's all just, you know, this whole idea that this Steve Pogenic guy, you know, saying that this is a silent coup on Alex Jones. I mean, if that doesn't give you, you know, make you step back and say, whoa, I smell a rat here. I don't know what will, but.
Yeah.
We'll have to see how it plays out because, you know. So, I mean, look, it's all just a big stage show.
Yeah.
You know, but it's,
Well, the question then is, if you say it's all a stage show, then nothing any of these people are doing, none of these speeches, none of these events, none of these leaks were not meant to happen. And that, to me, is a very frightening thought, you know, that they're that they could be that organized in their deceit.
Right. And then somebody said this morning, somebody I was watching.
And also on the other side.
Was watching RT. They said.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It was this Worlds Apart or something. Oksana Boyko or whatever. She was interviewing this professor of the university. And he said, "Well, when it comes down to conspiracy," and he said, "I usually say that people are not that competent to be able to pull off something like that." And it's I heard that and I was like, "Really?" Yeah, this guy really actually believes that if a conspiracy theory versus incompetence or lack of competence, he will say, "Nah, it wasn't. They're not that organized to be able to create a...
Well, okay, define organized. What actually organized the nation? Well, it was the Constitution. So you got a U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 6, Clause 1. They didn't write this on accident. They said that Congress shall be, in all cases, except treason, felony, and breach of the peace, will be privileged from arrest during their attendance at the sessions of their respective houses and going to and from the same. And for any speech or debate in either house, they shall not be questioned in any other place. They shall not be questioned in any other place for anything they say in a debate or in any speech. They have immunity. Do you think that's not part, that's not a conspiracy? Immunity is not part of a conspiracy.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, every time they say that, because of security, for security reasons, we cannot, you know, in court or wherever, we cannot, talk about that. We can't address that. Because of national security. And the only thing that that national security is doing is protecting those that are, you know, that are doing whatever they're doing. And again, I don't want to say they're criminals or they're doing these things, because that's a lot of people think that they're going to, that they can take America back. That if we do this, I mean, you know, Pechenik thinks, or I mean, he's got to be an operative. These people can't be, you know, these people can't be around this long and be this ignorant of the things that we've obviously, I've, you know, heard Clint speak about. You know, they can't be, they have to be playing, they have to be playing their roles. They have to, they cannot be this ignorant of the fact that, that this whole thing is an absolute creation.
Could you possibly enlighten the audience and tell the audience when it was that we possessed America in the first place?
No, I mean,
when was it that the common goyim, the common people of the nation, had possession of America? When is it that we had some paperwork or something that says we own America? We never had that, so what the hell do you think you're going to take back when you never had it in the first place?
Right. I mean, we can't take it back. It's not ours. It's their creation. Now, I mean, we can, you know, we can leave it, or we can, like so many times throughout history, I believe that, you know, things were forcefully taken. So, I mean, if enough people, which is highly unlikely, were to say, there's not going to be any nations, there's not going to be any, you're not going to be allowed to do this to us anymore, because now, guess what? We're going to take whatever you created, and we're going to turn it into something that we like, you know, through... You know, and then of course there would be bloodshed and things like that. So, granted, I mean, when I hear, you know, like, I mean, when Greg said to me, we don't know who we are, so there, you know, we have to first understand who we are. And of course, you know, he, you know, listening to you, conveying that over to me, saying, Clint's got some good information. We, you know, you should check it out. You know, we could leave it and not participate in it. Or we could just take what that they've taken from everybody else, because it's been said that they've taken everything from us and lied to us, right? They've taken everything.
Well,
so we can simply go back and punch them in the face.
Status to a private citizen. That's what you get.
Right. Let me point you guys to something else that you need to really kind of grasp here, because we are talking about a stage play, right? We're talking about which involves actors, right? I recommend that everybody look at fourth generation and now fifth generation warfare. You can even go to Wikipedia and find a blurb on fourth generation warfare. And the way that it is defined in some aspect is that fourth generation warfare has been involved in insurgent group or other violent non-state actors trying to implement their own government or reestablish an old government over the current ruling power. So, what I'm trying to tell you when I say this is fourth generation warfare, it's a mental conditioning. It's a mental warfare. It's the same thing as the Cold War, and it's the same thing as the nuclear threat. It's something that will never happen because of obvious reasons. There is no possibility of war without annihilation at this point. But what there is this, you know, we went from first generations, which was the musket, you know, and then we went into the second generation of warfare, which were, you know, World War One, third generation, you have stormtroopers, you have all these things, and then now you're getting into everything that's happened after World War Two, which is psychological-based type of warfare, information-based, through actors, non-state actors. It's often involving failed states and civil wars. There's a reason, of course, that you know, groups like Hillary's nonprofit organization, and why our own government buys guns and hands them out to the guerrillas in every one of these fucking states, all these so-called insurgents and everything. Well, we're going to support this terrorist group because we don't like this other terrorist group. Then that terrorist group grows. Well, now we have to support the other terrorist. We're literally keeping fourth generation warfare active. What is fourth generation warfare? Conflicts which involve terrorism, a non-national or transitional base. You notice there's no nations involved. A direct attack on the enemy's culture. Well, what the hell are they doing with all these Muslims? Highly decentralized, highly sophisticated psychological warfare, which is what we're seeing with the elections, because remember, the people don't elect the fucking president. We don't vote. When we vote, all we're doing is saying, yes, I agree in what the Electoral College will decide, which is the political parties. We have nothing to do with it. That is a highly sophisticated psychological warfare in fourth generation warfare, especially through media manipulation and lawfare. All available pressures are used, both political, economic, social, and military, occurs in a low-intensity conflict involving actors from all networks. Non-combatants are tactical dilemmas. So in other words, you know, all the insurgents, all the people that are militias and all that stuff, lack of hierarchy, obviously none of these groups have a control grid, nor does any of us out here in the what are called the truth movement, the patriot movement, right? It's all complete lack of hierarchy, complete lack of organization, which is why it never can succeed against such an organized criminal element as government. It's small in size, no matter which group you're looking at, it's a very small compared to anything national, and it's spread out in networks of communications and financial support. We know that, again, from all these financial disclosures that are coming out. And it's especially the use of insurgencies and guerrilla tactics instead of what are known as the Geneva Conventions, modern, you know, war, the laws of war, that kind of thing. We're in the perfect state of fourth transitioning to fifth generation warfare. Fifth generation will be the implementation of all these patents that we know about, where they're beaming shit into your head, where they're beaming pictures of Jesus Christ or Allah in the sky, that kind of thing. Alien invasions, all that shit. That's when technology comes into play. But for right now, we're still in the ridiculous belief that all of this is happening somehow naturally, or according to the plans of the elite, right? That all these guerrillas and everything have guns and ISIS and all this shit. This is all part of fourth generation warfare. And keep in mind, when I say fourth generation warfare, I mean warfare fought against the common perspective, the common knowledge, the common people. It's not wars against nations. It's all nations united fighting a war against us, an information war, and that includes the information war that Alex Jones puts out, all this stuff that's being told to us, all these WikiLeaks, that's all part of the war against our senses. And you know what? We don't do a damn thing about all this information because we hear it. We hear our officials and our government that is supposedly kicking out all this information. We say, oh, well, they have the information, therefore they're going to do something about it. No, that's fourth generation warfare. Bombard you with information so that you have no frickin' idea what to do with it. You know everything's corrupt. You know that there's nothing you can do about it. That's part of the warfare against you. You see, this is what people don't understand. We're in a war, certainly. We're in a war against the Third World, which we could call the Third World War. Wouldn't call it World War III, but certainly the Third World War, a war against, you know, all those people. You're talking about something, a different kind of war. You're talking about the 1984 kind of war here. Fake. Absolute everything is fake or planned or a bunch of guns passed out to a bunch of people who have no organizational training or anything else. So, I mean, that's what we're under. The presidential election is part of that low-intensity combat against our senses. We don't even know.
The real war of the world.
You know, we vote. We don't even know that our vote doesn't count. That's amazing!
Yeah, and I mean, you know, when I look at some of these platforms and I see this morning I was watching RT and they have these documentaries that you will never ever see, on our news platforms here about Chicago, how there's like 20 homicides like every weekend. And then there's this one guy, this priest guy who gets together and he gathers in South Chicago, and they get together and they play basketball and they seem like they're good kids, like they've got a method. They're trying to save the kids from what's out there. And then this one kid, after this one big game, I think Spike Lee was there and apparently another member of the family, I remember Clint saying, this kid goes and he's in the neighborhood and he gets shot in the face and he dies. And then his mother says, I don't know that he had any enemies, that anybody that would want to do that to him, you know? And the only thing I can think with, Rahm Emanuel being the mayor of Chicago, that I think what's happening is they've got these units and stuff that are in there that are just, you know, they're just shooting and killing people. I mean, it's happening anyway, so then they just send these teams out or whoever they are, and they're just murdering people now, apparently.
There's one other aspect of fourth generation warfare that everybody needs to be very aware of, because we're all victims of it. We can't help but be victims of it because we're in constant fear. All right, survival. One of the goals, you know, when we had wars before, it was to overthrow other nations, other rulers, to spread, you know, whatever it is. Today, what is the government telling us? We need to prepare. We need to have our survival kits. We need to do. It's all about survival. What was the significant part? The real significance of the World War II, the end of World War II, was that nuclear bomb, supposedly, that knocked out just incinerated everything, supposedly. And from that point on, the very face of war, the very perception of war changed to the point where, holy shit, if we have war, we're going to be lucky if we survive, right? That's the psyche of fourth generation warfare. Remember, this is a low intensity, so they don't need all of that high power equipment because there's just this constant threat of war that will lead to survival. Survival is one of the most important aspects of this fourth generational psychological warfare because it turns each of us against each other. Because what are we surviving but a bunch of hungry assholes that are just like us? Right, so part of the psychological warfare aspect of this whole thing and what it has been for a long time is that notion of turning people into survivalists, turning people into essentially an ununified people unified both in their patriotism, but also in their law. So that there is no, you know, without government, there's going to be no law. You're going to have to survive. You're just going to have to forget the natural law altogether and just start killing people to survive. Killing your neighbors, killing your family, right? That is an essential part of this. And if you haven't noticed, what is Alex Jones selling? What are all these networks selling? And now what are the main networks selling? They're selling gold and silver. They're selling storable food. They're selling military equipment, fucking bulletproof vests, ammunition, guns, all of the shit that they're selling on InfoWars and everything else. What are, you know, how about iodine in case you're radiated, right? Everything is geared towards survivalism, not towards unification of the mind, the body, and the spirit, not towards unification in Christ, not towards unification in law, but survival. I got to survive my neighbor. I got to survive the police. I got to survive the government. I got to survive everything. I got to survive the zombies, for God's sake.
Oh, no.
That, my friends, is the main component of this fourth generation warfare. And trust me when I say I've fallen for it. Everybody's fallen for it. Because how do you not? How do you not look around and say, I better prepare, get some food, get some guns? How do you not? Because that's the way they've set this whole thing up. You got to understand that's part of the plan. And Alex Jones, your InfoWarriors and all that shit, all this stuff about prepping and why it's mainstream, that's part of the show. That's part of the actors. That's part of the entire structure of fourth generation warfare. And I think that's probably one of the most important parts about it, because we're all in on it.
Yes, yeah, it's they've gotten us to participate in every aspect of it. And where would we be without the life straw? I don't see much hope. I like to think that there's a little bit, and then you've got a situation where just totally distracted by Jack running the stairs. I'm like, that dog's sick. How's he doing that? Yikes. The only thing that we really can do.
Intense for you?
No.
I lost his place.
No. Just that's Jack's just like he was outside getting some sun, you know, tanning.
Ah, poor Jack.
And then he just kind of ran in here, so it's like because we kind of had to keep him sequestered to the kitchen because you know he's having a incontinence problem. That just kind of just threw me off. But no, I mean it's it is pretty dire. We are in maybe we really totally have to look at it like George Carlin looks at it. He said, bring it on, you know. He said, I'll get the popcorn and I'd sit there and I'm watching it and just be entertained by it, you know, until the awful economic statistics and everything create, you're going to have gangs in your own town probably, right? I'm just sitting there. I hung out with a basket of deplorables the other day, and it was weird because they were like little children. And I was like, is that child a deplorable, you know? And it was a relatively small Trump rally, but I just wanted to kind of see, you know, what was it? It was very tiny, maybe about 20, maybe 25 people.
And hey, if you go to Wikipedia, mm-hmm. let me read you this list here. This is a list of, you know, you can always go to synonyms or things that are. Related to something. So at the end of the article, it says, see also, right? At the end of fourth generation warfare on Wikipedia, here's what it says. Asymmetric warfare, the CIA's Special Activities Division, the DIA's Defense Clandestine Service, civil disobedience, civil resistance, civilian casualty ratio, counterinsurgency, cyber warfare, divide and rule, irregular warfare, military operations other than war,
nonviolent resistance.
Strategy, nonviolent resistance, nonviolent revolution, proxy wars, unrestricted warfare, a war amongst the people, i.e. civil war, war cycles, war on drugs, etc., etc. So you've got all the things that we're familiar with, right? All those aspects from the CIA to the, you know, all of that is part of this warfare against us. Oh, we must have non-violent revolution. No such fucking thing. Oh, we must have non-violent resistance. No such fucking thing. It doesn't work that way. Nothing has ever worked that way. This is all part of the fucking show. It's all part of the act. And that's why you have in all these alternative movements. It's why Jan Ervin was going after these people who are supporting nonviolent communication, nonviolent revolution, nonviolent it's all bullshit. There's no such thing as nonviolence. You show me one aspect of nature that is nonviolent, and I'll give you everything I have, which is not much.
Yeah, there's no way that any of this and they are, you know, let's be honest, and I mean, like, they are steering us into, you know, we've been pushed into a corner. I mean, that's what it is, and it's going to the only characteristic is going to be you know, the behavior that will allow them to you know, take it to an take it to another level, which means, you know, and then what? What do you got? I mean, with the police out there shooting a lot of the, you know, a lot of the black people and.
Well, what do they show? Yes. What do they show you during 1984? You know, have you ever seen the movie or read the book? What are they showing in the background on a constant basis? They're showing fake war. They're showing the propaganda on how they're just in a constant state of war. That causes people it causes people nonviolent resistance, nonviolent revolution. It causes civil obedience. It causes all these things that they want. And then at the same time, they'll promote civil disobedience so that they can get people like us to be a little more outspoken. You know that people like us are not being unnoticed. We're being tolerated. We're being allowed, but we're short in our days. We're short in our numbers.
Oh sure. Yep. The inevitability of knowing too much. yeah. I mean, what can? Where do we go from here? I mean, what happens after the election? If Hillary gets in, then all the people that were for Trump, I mean, you know, they're going to crawl back to wherever from whence they came. If for some reason Trump wins, that there's going to be, you know, civil unrest, more civil unrest.
No. The truth is nothing at all will happen because nothing happens any other election because nothing's changing. Nothing is changing. We're gonna take back America. We're gonna make America great again. No. You're talking about the cycles that have been planned for this nation all along. There's nothing that's going to change. And you know what? Your truth movement's not going to change. They're still going to listen to Alex Jones. Your patriot movement's not going to change. They're still going to hoard weapons and guns. It's a great way for the gun manufacturers, which happen to be them, to make a lot of money. They don't give a shit if we have guns. They can destroy us at the push of a frickin' button. They're not worried about it. We're just another insurgency to them. We're a pesky fly. Don't fool yourselves into thinking that because we can, quote-unquote, carry guns, that we're a threat to this frickin' government. You've got a whole military against you. And trust me, those guys are brainwashed into killing you at the drop of a hat if you dare challenge their gods that they're assigned to protect. They took an oath, remember? So stop with the crap. Stop with the false beliefs. Stop allowing fourth generation warfare, psychological warfare, to rule your minds. Nothing's going to change. Right? Nibiru is not coming. The comets are not coming. Jesus Christ is not returning to Earth unless you make it happen through you. There is no God coming to save you. There is no war coming to save you. There is no president coming to save you. Only you can save yourself. That's
the key. I was kind of hoping for the meteor.
Well, shit, that'd be great. But it ain't going to happen, but it's going to be used over and over and over. Just like they said in their reports, going to go from meteors to aliens to, you know, they've got it all planned out. When one fear tactic doesn't work, they're going to move on to the next, and aliens is one of those, you know, an alien invasion. They've been talking about it forever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hold out any hope that we're going to be saved. Just trying to chronicle it.
I'll say it again, man.
Not that good what I do.
I'll say it again. Hope must die. Hope is one of my pet peeves. Hope is the most horrible, horrible thing you can have. If you actually want to change something, if you actually want a bunch of people to get up off their asses and do something, hope is the worst thing that you can give them. Because that's what presidents do. That's what Trump is being assigned to do. And for those who support Hillary, that's what Hillary is assigned to do. Give them hope. And as long as they have hope, they're not going to do anything. They're going to continue to breathe life into the fiction. They're going to continue to give it power over them. Sorry, that's just how it works.
It's perfect. I mean, it's the perfect scenario because once Trump, you know, the celebrity, he could, you know, and Greg and I were talking about this yesterday, that he would, his, who he is and the television show and all that stuff, he would be the only one that could have, you know, the non-establishment guy who could come in there and win the nomination because it's just, you know, and of course, you could go back and say, okay, the reason why he has the, he had the show was to prepare for this moment now. So he will not, he's the perfect candidate, and it's going to pretty much take the whatever the Republican conservative, It's just going to erase that so that all you have are baby killers and, just absolute degeneracy from the Beyoncés to the Madonnas to all of these people that make their living in Hollywood.
Sure.
They know that if they side with Hillary, that they will, that their careers will, you know, their careers will flourish, you know, whatever that is to them, whatever it means to them. So it really is, we are really, like you said, we're getting down to just one ideology, and it's going to be the, the slippery slope into.
Well, I want to hear Greg's breakdown of stuff like you were talking about earlier. I will say one last thing, which is, I think what people have never really had the concept of, why do we, as opposed to the queen, which is an age-old tradition, a passing of the crown, basically a passing of the Christhood to the next, living heir, we have this thing where it's a presidential and a congressional vote. And what the vote actually represents, and people, when I say this, it's probably going to sound ridiculous to some people until you think about it just for a minute. But what it really represents is a pressure valve releasing. It's the election cycle is I'm trying to think of the word. It's a play. It's a imitation. That's the word I'm trying. It's an imitation of an assassination. It's an imitation of death. The current corruption dies and the savior returns. It's a simulation of the Christ story, as is the Pope, as is the Queen. The only difference is in America, we do it so quick, every 4 years, every 2 years, that we never actually get anything, you know, we never really treat them as royalty. We're served with another assassination, a simulated assassination every 4 years. And while that sounds silly, you'll think about it, you'll realize, you can even research it, and you'll understand that that's exactly what's happening. It's a simulated death of the king. And it works really well because we never get to know the king, and we can be manipulated even more by this constant change in authority. And on that note, I would like to hear Greg's breakdown of all this shit. I just heard, for instance, Greg, that the Homeland Security guy on television said that his opinion is that Hillary committed treason.
Oops, sorry, I had myself muted there. Yeah, a Homeland Security guy? Which one was that?
I just heard it right before I came on here, so I don't know.
Let's see.
Oh, that's right. That was an interview we did the other day. He said with state secrets and stuff on our server is tantamount to treason. So, right. Now, like I've been saying, look, this is all, it's a state show. They're letting us know, they're not hiding it from us that she represents the corruption out in the open. You know, no two ways about it. She's a pirate, and she's Captain Hook, and there she is.
Captain Hooker. So,
she's Captain Hooker. Exactly. And so it's just interesting that all this is coming out. Totally agree with Clinton. It's a stage show, but I think it's more like they're watching to see our reactions because they want certain things to happen. They have to get the commoners to conform to certain things. And I think this election was a big beta test. How far is it going to go? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the people, regardless of our opinion, more people are going to, it's obvious. Hillary Clinton can't honestly draw people to her rallies, and Donald Trump is just packing him in wherever he goes. So if she can't draw people to her rallies, if she cannot honestly draw people to rallies, then she cannot honestly draw people to the polling booths on Tuesday to elect him.
Yeah.
So the only way she could win is by cheating. But with all this stuff coming out, they're almost being limited to what they can do. So we're getting President Trump, it looks like, at this point.
Greg, and you know what? I don't believe that anything is going to change the path. So if he does win, I would just be pleased that she's, I wouldn't have to look at her. And I mean, like Clint said a number of times, I mean, this guy's companies have gone bankrupt. America's bankrupt. Who better to oversee, you know, the bankruptcy of America than, you know, someone who's gone through that. So,
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it gives them a chance to sort of, you know, bag and tag everybody and sort of categorize them. Who are the people that are, you know, at some point, we know that we are a nation of really stupid people.
Yeah.
And this stupidity, well, you have to purge this at some point. You just can't, you can't let it go.
You have to measure that stupidity, though, on the fact that when it comes to the stupidity, we've been led to stupidity because there's such a barrage of false, you know, information, all these fruits from the tree of knowledge of good and evil that are useless information. And that's, again, that's part of the military strategy. It's called complexity theory. You guys ever heard of complexity theory? Because if you make an election so complex, when you start stacking on so many complexities with Donald Trump and all of his stuff and then Hillary Clinton and all his stuff, how can you possibly choose between two leaning powers of shit? Right? You just go with what you're used to going with. You don't even think about your choice anymore. That's what I'm finding, especially with the Hillary voters, but also very much so with the Trump voters. They're just not thinking about it. They're just saying, I'm going to vote for Trump because I like what he says, or you know, I like his pussy comments, or, you know, there's no complexity of thought with people because the theory is if you make things too complex, people won't try and be smart. Try and figure it out like people, like very few and far between like us, right? People aren't going to try to figure out. And that's what you experience when you go to work, Shelly, and you talk to your friends. They're like, you know, they're not going to spend hours and hours every day trying to figure out the nuances of each candidate, looking at their background. No, they're going to see a speech every once in a while. They're going to listen to the news. They're going to hear this complex pile of shit being thrown at them from a bunch of monkeys who are paid to do so by the CIA. And right, Operation Mockingbird.
They're pretending that they're participating in something. Right? Because they don't want to be labeled as, oh, you just don't care about the process. I mean, people out there there's people out there that have no plan of voting ever. And the only reason that you know, more people registered to vote when Obama was in the mix, Barry Dunham, a.k.a., is because he was, you know, he's a black man to, you know, that, or they, you know, their version of what is actually happening. So they'll get in there, they'll vote for him. So, of course, it was a landslide. Who wants to, you know, who would want to look at John McCain, that friggin' wart on the world's asshole? But you've got, now with her, you know, being a female, you know, you've got this fiction where, oh, this, you know, there's never been a woman president. And then, of course, now you got Madame Secretary and all these garbage shows out there. And, I mean, there are it is an absolute cesspool of shit. And I mentioned last week about what's his face, Kiefer Sutherland, where in this television shit show, there's a bomb that goes off and there's a lot of congressmen and senators and just killed. Apparently the president was you know, blown up as well in this television show, and so that Kiefer Sutherland becomes the president. I mean, it's just such, it's so fucking ridiculous. And like, I'm sitting there and I wasn't even really watching it, but I was just sitting there just kind of, I just want to kind of see what this shit is and think, God, look at all the money that's being spent on this television show. One of many, okay? And then look at all, not only that, but look at all the Trump and Hillary, the pro-Trump, pro-Hillary commercials. Not to mention, in this area, there's Pat Toomey and then this Katie McGinty, and the money that's being spent on that. Like, how can they even justify spending the money that they do on this, knowing that, I mean, there's so many people out there that are suffering. I mean, if you've got that kind of money, you know, put it into, you know, helping someone, right? We totally, that, you know, whether we've allowed them to turn us into what we are, or we had no other choice, or I don't know. I mean, it's just, that alone, the amount of money that's spent on elections in America to trash someone else. It's an absolute disgrace. We are an absolute disgrace. We are garbage. We've, I mean, not just as a collective, we are. It's just what we become is absolutely discouraging. At its core. I mean, there's a lot of good things about, you know, the people that are listening. UCY, Clint and his research, Greg and his, you know, his research and the things that, that he's done. And as I said before, Clint, Greg listening to Clint and then Greg saying to me, hey, this guy's got some really, really good information. I think he's the closest to what this is than anyone else that we've listened to, you know. So, you know, we're good. I don't want to say America is great because America is good. Fucking Hillary. There's where somebody smack her so fucking hard her head just flies off. But, you know, there's got to be something, you know, that, you know, we're going to be tested. We're going to be prodded and poked and there's going to be so much that are, that's going to be done to us. But I think that there's got to be some kind of something good that's going to come out of this. I mean, it can't, you know, there's got to be something, you know. And I'm not saying that we're going to, this is going to change, or I know that everything's going to get much worse, but there's got to be something good that's going to come out of this on some level, somewhere, somehow, some way.
Well, good for them.
Good for them, right? Exactly.
The Rand company came up with this, said disaggregated forces such as guerrillas, terrorists, and rioters, which is basically what we are, which lack any sense of gravity or organization, deny to their enemies a focal point at which to deliver a conflict-ending blow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what does that mean? Perpetual war against the emergency. What's the emergency? We are insurgents. Remember, insurgents are actually the good guy. The government says an insurgent is a bad thing. But what an insurgent is defined as is someone who's actually fighting for their country. Not for the nation, but for their people, for their country. Right? So when you hear that the government went in and killed a bunch of insurgents, we think, oh, yay, that's good. Actually, what that means is government went in, killed a bunch of people who were trying to defend their country against our invasion of it for absolutely no reason other than to convince us that we're doing good, that the military's good, that we're protecting our homeland by killing everywhere else, that kind of thing. It's just all crap. It's all propaganda. It's 1984. You're living through 1984 right now. I mean, it's happening. It's just happening in a way more clandestine aspect than that. I don't know what to tell people.
The father of propaganda. Propaganda. So yeah, you know, it's a mess, and you know, all we can do is chronicle the fall of Western civilization. I mean, that's all we can do. I mean, and we've got different aspects. I mean, you know, there's, you know, with Clint, he's got a lot of the backgrounds. He's got a lot of the, you know, the just really, really damning evidence of how insignificant we are in the grand scheme of things. And Greg and I were talking about Westworld. We were talking about how it is so similar to, I don't know if you have a ability to check that out, Clint. It really is so similar to what we're seeing here with the breakdown of
that show on TV.
Yeah, that's what Greg's saying. So Greg's
what show is it?
Called Westworld.
Oh, Westworld. Yeah.
I'd like to see it, but I'd have to pay for it.
Well,
you can see
that. Send him that. Send Flint.
I'll
that
send
link.
The link. I'll send the link.
And it's very. I mean, it's very good. And you know, like Greg was saying, it's very cerebral. It's you know, kind of Matrix-like, but it makes you think about it. And there's a lot of different, really amazing things that are going to come down that are going to expose what this park is, where they have these biological androids.
Transhumanism, right?
Transhumanism, exactly. Yeah. So it's
Yeah, I'd like to see it. I don't know why I waste my time on any shows anymore, but you know, it certainly passes the time in hell.
It's good, you know, and Anthony Hopkins, you know, member of the family, and Ed Harris, and all these guys. But you know, they do a good job, and there are you know, just crazy, crazy, awesome similarities between, you know, they have the hosts, the androids, and then they have the guests who come in and pay like $40,000 a day to spend time in this this fictional reality, where you know, and it's fascinating. There's so many things going on. So I think you would enjoy it, Clint. I caught up pretty quick on it.
Hey, before we run out of time, go ahead.
I was going to say the androids in the show, the robots, basically, I think it's an analogy for us. And the guests are the elites that can pay any amount of money to do whatever they want to us.
Yeah, that happens today, I think, you know, hunting of humans and that kind of thing, hunting of tribes in Africa. I want to leave everybody with this last thought, right? If you're going to go vote, this is the National Archives Records Administration. This is from the North Carolina Secretary of State. This is what she said. It is important to remember that the President of the United States is not chosen by nationwide vote. The Electoral College vote totals determine the winner, not the statistical plurality or majority a candidate may have in the nationwide popular vote totals. It is important to remember that the President of the